Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude, and Wendell. Wendell, the weather is good in Sydney today.
Mate, it's hot.
Any danger of you wearing a shirt that has like sleeves?
Mate, it's hot weather. It's hot. Mate, when I was walking to work today, I was just sweating. So I just thought, you know, I just go to sleeves.
Mate, you are looking good at the moment. You lived in a city. We know you live in a city now, but you're like a tour guide these days, aren't you?
Destination New South Wales.
Destination New South Wales, here he is.
Fantastic. How are you, Jude?
Mate, really well. Pumped for today's show. It's obviously a public holiday tomorrow for Australia Day. So, yeah, and you've come in for a short week. It's good to have you here, mate.
Thank you very much. With Australia Day landing on a Thursday this year, the boys, the number of Aussies taking the sickie on Friday is likely to soar. So that's the problem with having a public holiday on a Thursday and not a Monday or a Friday. It gives you that little gap, right? And some companies are going, you know what, work from home or take it or work a little bit and whatever. But the amount of sickies I reckon that's going to be called in is going to be in the millions.
Oh, well, it's hard enough getting people into the office on a Friday these days, let alone when there's a public holiday on the Thursday. So I can see that it's going to be rife.
Yeah.
I don't mind too much because, look, this will shock you. I'm a person who doesn't mind a day off every now and then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but this isn't new me. But good luck to those people. And, mate, just enjoy yourself because we've had a tough couple of years.
It's safe to assume that it looks a bit suspicious too. You know, mate, calling in sick on a Friday morning or leaving a message or sending an email on this Friday in particular is going to look a bit dodgy. Employers then can turn around and say, you know what, I need to see a doctor's certificate.
Oh,
they can go that extra mile. By rights, they can do that. Whether or not they are going to do that or not, is that a bit un-Australian? Is it better just to say, you know what, we know you're doing it, so work from home, do the best you can, but let's have a crack, see you Monday.
Yeah, it's a bit of a non-event, surely, but I guess people are coming back after Christmas holidays and the like, so.
Do you think now we don't do a lot of work pretty much from Melbourne Cup until after Australia Day, which is basically 3 months?
Yeah.
So basically now a whole year of productivity is down to 9 months.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, this is a really, like, people are out of office till well up, you know, middle of January. So it is a long period of
it's good,
sort of non-productivity.
Yeah. But it's the Australian way. Like, I'm not saying we work hard when we have to work hard, but when it's time to have...
We love a bludge, don't we?
Your quality, not quantity, is that right?
I'm 100%, mate. You've got me pegged in one.
The Australian Open, guys. Can you imagine anyone beating Djokovic?
Not at the moment.
No.
The way he just absolutely destroyed Alex de Minaur the other night, there was just a huge class gap. So
I love the Demon. He's been getting that much stick, though, because of that performance. And he just goes, you know what, everyone, just back away. I've done the best I can.
Yeah.
He's proven over the years that he never gives up.
Yeah,
he was just beaten by a bloke who absolutely was on fire.
Can I tell you, the Joker, you know, sometimes we love to hate the Joker, but that's why he's one of the greatest athletes that we've ever seen, because there's that mentality there that he just goes, okay, I remember that last year. And I'll just go on the court and do what I got to do.
Exactly.
So he doesn't care if you love or hate him. He just goes out there and does what he does. And the Demon, well, mate, he just got taken to school.
Yeah, he certainly did. What about in the women's game? Unseeded Magda Linette, she marched into her first grand final semi. She's never gone past the third round before.
Incredible.
And she won through against Pliskova, who used to be the world number one this afternoon. So good to see some new names and stuff, because it's just been pretty much dominant by the Williams sisters and obviously the big three and Murray, I suppose, the big four in the men's over the last 20 years.
There's been a big shift, but I guess it also leads back to the fact that Ash Barty stepped away from tennis at the helm. So
selfish.
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
See, congratulations. It's fantastic.
A little bit of tongue in cheek. But
you weren't even on her bandwagon back. You know, you weren't even on there earlier on.
Mate, we don't go back there.
Okay.
Because I'm definitely on it now.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that it is selfish because the next 5 years we could have watched her dominate.
No.
And just at that point she decides to have a baby and have her own life.
Good on her. That's the new age. Good on
her. What about Australian tennis legend Sam Stosur says her retirement from professional tennis hasn't hit home just yet. She lost the first round of the mixed doubles and now she has decided after 24 years on the circuit, which included 7 Grand Slam double titles and a victory in the 2011 US Open against Serena Williams. That's the one that we'll all remember. But, you know, we'll put sort of tip our lid to her. What a wonderful player for Australia.
Incredible effort. Yeah, she's been fantastic, Sam. And obviously to win the 2011 US Open against one of the greats as well, Serena. So, yeah, terrific.
Yeah, she's a wonderful ambassador for our country. And any girl and a young, you know, young guy watching, she set a very good standard.
What I want to talk about, though, is Francis, what's his name? Tafoe?
Tafoe, yep.
Tafoe.
Now, good outfit. Good outfit the other day.
What do you mean, good outfit?
It's a great flamboyant.
He'd stepped it up a bit.
We'll put the photo up on our socials. It was ridiculous.
No, it wasn't.
And you know what? I don't like tennis players wearing all those colours and stuff. I think we should go back to white, like Wimbledon, traditional, and let's get that done rather than wearing, well, basically they're wearing board shorts and sleeveless tops and whatever. Let's just get back to a little bit of.
Does it really matter?
What's wrong with tradition?
Sport is entertainment.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Mate, I couldn't concentrate on the ball because he had 20 colours on his shirt, this bloke.
That's not his fault, mate. He's flamboyant. He's French. That's what he's about. I love it.
You know what? He had blue, purple, red, yellow and white squiggles, all have hazard lines. He's a world number 17. I'm glad he got beat so we didn't have to see that shirt again.
Oh, come on.
Plus, I'm not a fan of the French full stop.
Let's be honest. Even like the Williams sisters, they changed the game, you know?
Is he not French?
Where's he from?
Is he American?
American. I thought he was French.
I don't like Americans either. Bad neighbours. Guy Sebastian, who'd come across as one of the nicest blokes you would sort of think. Apparently he's had a 6-year battle with his neighbour, with the Australian Idol winner sorting an apprehended violence order after his neighbour allegedly threatened to kill him. And kicked over the boundary fence outside his home on his beachside suburb of Maroubra. The long-standing dispute is over Sebastian's fortress. Apparently he's got a pretty big joint there.
You don't mess with the neighbours in Maroubra, surely.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Oh, I think this is a song that he sung after, and it went number one. The neighbour cannot contact Sebastian or enter the property and is banned from possessing a firearm or some other weapon.
It sounds like it started, look, digging into the article, it sounds like it started on the back of renovations years ago and, like, it's just been a lot of angst. And it happens when you've got the close boundaries with other neighbours and, you know, people just get something up their goat.
Have you guys had any sort of bad experiences with neighbours?
I've been pretty lucky. I've always had pretty good neighbours. But I remember living in a share house with a few blokes back in the day down in Botany. And we had this
imagine
house.
What that was like.
We had this house where, like, it was a balcony at the back, a small backyard, and it looked straight into all these apartments. And we'd have some raucous parties and come back pretty late. And there'd be people having cigarettes and talking really loudly off the back or urinating or doing something, and and it's going straight, like looking straight at the apartments. And sure enough, there's a few calls back to the club to say, you know, there's some activity going on down here. That we put the hands up in the air and said,
was it all Swans players?
No, just a few mates and things like that. It used to come and stay, but
you're a loose unit. What about you, Del?
I've been all right, but you know, there was Swans part of the team. They had a few problems because they're building something nice down that way. The Warners. Some of the locals aren't happy with, they're building something really big. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw Dave and Candace under the bus there.
Mate,
but some of the locals,
part of the family.
I know, but some of the locals aren't happy with what they're doing down there.
Because Avon has got a nicer place as Candace and Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Well, unlucky. Yeah. We've got an old bat next to us.
There's no way
she's listening to Triple M, so I can rip in. She used to be really nice.
Yeah.
She used to be lovely. She used to give the kids $5 and a Christmas card. And then she got like mid-70s and turned sort of old and crabby and nasty. And the fact now we've got a basketball ring out the back and the kids are playing that at 9 o'clock. She's like, shh, shh. It's like, come on. You know,
it can be basketball. Oh. Things just set neighbours off. Might be overhanging trees and things like that. I'm always fascinated by those neighbourly feuds.
Yeah, this is a problem with your neighbour. I know why she's not happy, because it's when you started taking the garbage out in your undies, mate.
That is true.
She wasn't happy about
offensive.
That.
Undies, no top and my Crocs.
Oh.
We threw it out there, bad neighbours off the back of Guy Sebastian having a bloke who basically threatened to kill him, kick down his buddy fence and stuff. So
5-year battle, 5-year feud.
Which can happen, as we've spoken about. Kim from Maroubra, from the same area as Guy Sebastian. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. How are you going?
Good. Kim.
You're not the one feuding with Guy Sebastian, are you?
No, I am not.
Okay, good. You sound lovely. So who are you feuding with?
Not anymore, but a few years back, I used to live in Balmain, and I lived in a townhouse complex of three. And the guy next door basically started smoking outside. I just had my daughter and she started smoking out the front.
Mm.
And so we held a strata meeting and we decided that no smoking on the premises, so he had to smoke out on the street. That night he got really drunk, came round, chopped down all my flowers.
How pathetic.
I know.
That is...
And the lady, the other neighbour, she hated kids and loved animals, so I was surrounded in them.
How long did you have to stick around for, Kim? I'm glad you got rid of it and you've moved on. Thanks for the call.
Let's go to Ryan in DY. How are you, Ryan?
How's it going, Dead Set Legends? Hollywood Dell, how's it going?
Good, thanks,
mate.
Yeah.
Tell us your bad neighbour story.
It was my bad landlady. She lived upstairs and she would help herself into my place and I was at work opening up the windows, cleaning the kitchen up, you know, and I'd get home and all the windows would be open, all my clothes put away. Very weird.
What?
No way.
How did you know it was her, Ryan?
Because I kept on laying traps. Like, I kept on closing the window halfway and then one day she told me she was coming down. So, yeah.
Wow. Don't mind
and
the clothes being put away, though. I'd take
Brent Reed. Reedy's male.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was a good neighbour, though. Don't worry about that.
We like Reedy. And this lady didn't give you any extra loving. She just folded your clothes. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's moved on.
Hey, what about Gabby there? Gabby, what about your neighbour, good or bad?
It was actually a neighbour of my father-in-law, and it turned into quite the feud. So the neighbour tried a bit of a land grab, tried pushing the fences out. Mother-in-law dobbed him in, so you know it ratchets up a level. The neighbor starts chucking all the dog poops across the fence.
My father-in-law,
he's patient. He collected every last one of them in a bag. When he had enough of them, he snuck around and filled the guy's barbecue with all the dog poop.
That is patient and commitment. Yes. Thanks for your call, Gab. Time to talk to this legend.
Our next guest's birth certificate just says gone fishing. He's travelled the world making fishing docos, which means he's had lots of up-close encounters with the ocean's most interesting creatures. But the same can be said for Gus and Jude for working with Dell. You can hear all of his incredible stories on his podcast, fittingly titled The Best Job in the World. Live from his boat, please welcome Al McGlashan.
Yeah, he's an absolute legend. G'day, Al. Thanks for joining us on the show, mate. How are you?
G'day, guys. And would you believe, what do you think I'd be doing right now?
Fishing.
Fishing. On the water, marlin fishing, just for something different.
Look, that's fantastic. Thanks for spending a bit of time with us. There's been so many sightings lately, the catch of the shark, the dolphin in near Shelley Beach in Manly. What is going on at the moment with so many sort of sightings and people just having encounters with sharks?
Well, we started, it's funny you say, because we started out this morning, we went up to go kingy fishing up at Longreef, and all we caught were bloody sharks.
Oh.
We got a hammer and then we got a whaler and we got bitten off a couple of times. So, yeah, look, it's a bit frustrating at the moment. There's a little hammer buzzing around the boat and all that. Part of it's that the East Australian current's really, it's hot water this year. So the tropical water's pushed down and it's brought everything with it, and similar to what we had last year. But there's just a lot around this year, you know. It's one of those years, and it's a mix of fish too. You've got tigers out wide, you've got, you know, your whaler sharks, your hammers. You got just about everything, it seems.
Al, it's Jude. I mean, you shot me a text yesterday and you were out in the boat catching some marlin again as well. But your boy Cooper, look out. The marlin had jumped in the back of the boat almost. Tell us what happened yesterday.
Yeah, well, it didn't quite go to plan because, you know, you catch a marlin, you get up towards the bait, you normally get some great jump shots or a bit of video, and then you do a gentle release and let it swim away. That's the plan. Unfortunately, this fish decided that he sort of jumped the gun a bit and thought, well, if you guys want, well, why don't us come and join you in there? And so 1 minute, he's jumping around outside the boat. The next thing, he's gone all quiet. Thought, oh, yeah, he's relaxed now. You'll be all right. You don't want to hurt him, right? Next thing, he's popped up beside the boat and come flying over the back of the boat. It almost hit poor old Coops and the ghoulies and stuff. And imagine throwing the fish into the boat. You're talking, you know, 50, 60 kilos of fish. And then Coops is using his reel to push it back over the side. Because he goes, oh, I didn't want the fish to get hurt. I think you're on the cards there too, mate.
Yeah.
Flicked it back over the side. Then it tried to jump back in again. It's like, oh, God.
Amazing. So, yeah, amazing.
Wasn't it textbook catch and release, I can tell you.
Hey, one thing I know about the Sydney Harbour is that I remember a few years back the Navy diver, he got his leg taken off, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I see whenever people go on those cruises and they're jumping in the water, I just think bull shark. Are they around everywhere, or is it like around Gladesville in particular?
Well, they come down every year. And it's funny, when the girl that got eaten a couple of days later, I was there for the Telegraph, and Mal Holland, my mate, goes, let's go and try and catch one. And we went out and hooked one like 2 days after that. And the funny thing is we hooked it down towards Watson's Bay and fought it all the way. And the cameraman on board goes, oh, imagine if it went around the corner towards the Harbour Bridge and to where the Navy diver got eaten. I said, oh, that's easy. It'll do it. The shark swam around the corner and swam straight to it. He goes, how do you get him to do that? And I went, oh, you know, it's a special skill I've got. I can't believe that fish swam around the corner. But, yeah, you see them around this time of year. Every year they come down, and fisheries have been doing, luckily, they're doing a bit of research in them. They need to be doing a lot more research into all the fish, I should add. But they're doing it and learning that every year they come down that East Australian current and come in, and for whatever reason they sort of settle in the harbour. But there's usually quite a few around. And so, you know, it's a rarity to obviously get eaten, but that's obviously that's still not nice for some poor soul that does get chewed on and stuff. Because the problem is with the shark is they test everything with their mouth, which is no different from a baby or a dog or whatever. The problem is they've got a set of fangs in there, which, you know, it doesn't do well to your leg if you're a surfer or sunny or a diver or whatever. So, yeah, it's just an unfortunate part of it, I think.
Gus hasn't been in the water for 6 years, so
no,
look out.
No, I have. I literally haven't been. I love the sea water, so I go into the pools. Yeah. There's one down there at Holleroy, which I swim in all the time, but I will not go in the sea. After I walk, they strip down in their budgies, they jump in, they have a ball. I'm just like, I'm petrified out. All my mates are skinny. I'm the big chubby one, and they're going to take me down. That's where my head goes. It honestly does, Al, and it's a huge day for everyone tomorrow, especially on the coastline. Public holiday. We've got to worry about people drowning. People got to worry about sharks now and stuff. Is there anything there that you would tell our listeners who might be thinking about having a day at the beach tomorrow on Australia Day?
There's a bit of common sense. You know, the simple thing is dawn and dusk is the time you don't want to be swimming, you know, for sharks and stuff like that, because they're sniffing around, you know, the low light makes it easy to hunt. And also it's obviously harder to see, so they're more likely to grab at things. The second thing that's really important is the bait schools. There's a school of mullet or salmon or something, you know, milling around on the beach there, and it's not the time to be swimming next to it, you know. I mean, I'll jump in on a bait ball and stuff like that, but I know the risks that I'm taking. But if you're at the beach, it's just not the thing to do. And also dirty water. I mean, luckily at the moment, the water's beautiful and clear, so we're pretty good. I mean, that's one thing for me when we're jumping in on sharks and all that. I won't jump in if it's dirty. I like nice, clean water. I like to see them. If I can see them, they can see me. It works better. If they can see me and I can't see them, then it's not a fair, you know.
Not a fair fight.
Hey, Al, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Your podcast, best job in the world. It's sound. You can hear it in your voice how much you love it. Al McGlashan, thanks for joining us on the Rush Hour.
Anytime, boys. I'll go and catch a marlin now.
Fantastic. So much to talk about around the game of rugby league, Jude.
Yeah, Dell, the Indigenous All-Stars teams have been named, and there's some big headline acts. You look at the talk of the likes of Addo Carr, Selwyn Cobbo, Nico Hines, Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker and Jack Whiten, amongst many.
Oh, mate, yeah, good time of the year. It means so much to the boys, and I just know that they love playing for their culture and for their people, you know. But for me, what I'm excited about is, you know, Selwyn Cobbo, we know what sort of player he is, but also young Sloan, Tyrell Sloan.
Yep.
Mate, for me, the Dragons, they've got to stick with him here. Like, mate, he gets his confidence from playing, you know, with the boys. As the boys said, they love playing with the brother boys, but they go there, they play, they take that back to the club. I want the Dragons to stick with Sloan as fullback, because in this game, I think last year he scored a try. It was exciting, and they love it. You know, they're playing against the Māori side, which they're representing their people and their heritage. So there's some wonderful players there, but the young players are the ones I'm looking forward to watching.
And the Indigenous All-Stars women have been named as well, and there's a lot of experienced players, the likes of Talisha Harden in there as well.
Yeah, Talisha Harden, like, she's one of those people that you just love watching, you know. She gives it everything. But also there's a new young star on the horizon there, Talia Fumoina. You know, her brother plays for the Dragons. Remember last year when Hayes Dunster got injured? That was her brother who tackled him with the tackle, done his ACL. So it's a bit of family sort of rivalry there. But also, she's a wonderful young player. She plays 5'8 and lock, and she played for Australia in the off-season, but she's one of the new rising stars.
Before you go on to the next thing, let's go on back to Selwyn Cobbo. He came out in the podcast and said, yeah, I think, you know, Kev is a good bloke but not a very good coach.
Yeah. I think with young players these days, I understand Adam Reynolds is such a good football brain, and I think Kevy's probably a really good man manager, but Kevy knows football. Kevy Walters brought me through as a player. So I just got to, I think young blokes have got to be careful what they say.
Yeah.
And especially when you go on a podcast, let me tell you, you're representing not just your club, yourself, and obviously the league. So, you know, it's a lesson well learned for him. But look, mate, we all make mistakes, and Selwyn Cobbo, mate, he said one thing. Back in our day, guys like me, Joey and Freddie, we made a few more mistakes than that.
Yeah, good point.
Now, Dell, the Sharks enforcer Toby Rudolph has encouraged the NRL to actually introduce a pride round. Last year we saw Rudolph spoke about his own sexuality being it's quite fluid, and he's received an enormous amount of public support after his showing, and he was astounded by how many people were touched by his comments last year.
Oh, I think it's good boy, Toby Rudolph. We shouldn't have to stand up and say what we are or who we are, what we do, but it's in rugby league, you know. Ian Roberts came out and talked about his sexuality, and we love Ian Roberts for that. But there hasn't been anyone else really since, you know, Toby Rudolph. I like the way that he plays. I watched him come through Newtown. I think for me, I love that Toby Rudolph did this. He shouldn't have to. So, mate, whatever you like, I don't care. We should stop judging people. Mm. And, mate, love is love. So, mate, good luck to Toby. I love watching him play, and I just love how he's just stood up here and said, this is what I am. I take it or leave it, so it's great.
Yeah, he's authentic. That's fantastic. What about Eddie Jones, boys? You had a great interview whilst I was away in the UK with him. I just want to go back and play you a little bit about when he was talking about rugby league, rugby union, taking players from rugby league like back in the day. Let's hear what Eddie had to say.
I think in the short term, it's all about retaining the talent we've got. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the medium term, yeah, we want to get blokes who've played rugby, you know, and I'm sure a few of them are looking at what's coming ahead for Australia and thinking, well, this might be a good opportunity for us. And we know there's a number of good players out there.
Got the Sevens coming up this weekend in rugby union as well, which is always good. It's obviously a tournament that goes around the world. What are your thoughts on that, Del? I mean, you'd be perfect to describe yourself like a Sawali at the moment would be the guy, right?
Look, there's no doubt that he's the sort of guy that you would try and poach or lure across, but it's at what price? If you're going to pay a massive amount of money, I know when Matt Rogers, myself and Takiri came.
Well, they paid well overs for you three bunnies.
Well, they did, but they certainly got their money back because we put bums on seats. That's what we did, you know? And then don't forget, I gave them a bit of money back too when I got in trouble. So, but you've got to get the right players for the culture. Gus, you know this with club rugby. You get in there and watch, you know, club rugby all the time. Some of those players coming through going, well, why are you poaching league players and we're doing all the hard work? And,
yeah.
You know, and
foster the base. Yeah. You know, that's the thing as well.
Well, that's a tough one. But if you get someone like Sawali, who was a union,
yes,
you know, at Kings and so forth, the Roosters got him after South sort of had him. That's the one that sort of got away. Now they have to probably pay a lot more than they would have if they hadn't let him go in the first place.
Exactly. You know, like guys like Cam Murray, Angus Crichton, they're players that Eddie Jones would have looked at. But, you know, look, this is what Eddie does, mate. Eddie's going to be really good for entertainment, but he's going to get who he wants to get.
Yep. What about two kangaroos captured punching on in an all-out war before crashing into a tent filled with terrified people on the mid-north coast? Let's have a listen.
Don't get near them.
Jesus. The boxing roos were seen exchanging punches and kicks, understood they were fighting for the affections of a female before the sleeping family got caught up in the crossfire. Apparently boxing is the thing that male kangaroos do to work out who's going to have a little bit of action.
Well, yeah. They're mammals. I mean, like many of the mammals, like lions and gorillas, they have to sort of fight for the affection and then take ownership. Look out.
I wouldn't get a Ronnie Coote if I had to fight for it, I tell you. What about animals that mate for life? Swans, Old Field mice, apparently. Mm-hmm. They're the only rodent that mate for life.
Old Field mice.
Yeah. Old Field mice, yeah. Coyotes, seahorses, penguins, albatross, bald eagles, red foxes, and beavers.
Really?
Beavers are monogamous, are they? Nothing but mammals, so let's do
it like we do it on Discovery Channel. Here we go now.
Oh, yeah.
Pump this up. This is good. Mammals, so
let's do it like we do on the Discovery Channel. To be fair, boys.
How would you go mating for life, Del?
To be fair, boys, let me tell you.
He's not answering that.
No, boys.
Yeah,
on.
Mate, sorry.
Boys, to be fair, you shouldn't have to fight for the affection of females. If they don't like you, just move on. Just, like, I don't...
I know, but they're obviously not in a society like ours where there's lots of choices, you know what I mean?
But I looked at that clip and it was like two men like going at it like wrestling. Like he had him down and just let him know he's a big dog.
I tell you what, you'd like get the fright of your life if you're in that tent though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a bit like what I do to you sometimes, Warren.
Yep. I hold onto your pocket, that's for sure. Time now to talk to this man.
Next guest is a Parramatta Eels Hall of Famer, playing 175 games in the yellow and blue. In fact, he loves yellow and blue so much that he can't just have it on one jersey. He's worn just the yellow playing for Australia and just the blue playing Origin. He also runs one of Sydney's best sporting stores. Ever heard of FIFA Win Score? If you don't score here, you'll never score. And I've only just learned that it's spelled W-Y-N-N. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, Peter Wynn.
Yeah, but the three of us in here certainly know how it's spelt, and we've loved that store. And you're on the move, Winnie. What is happening, brother? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys. It's wonderful, Wendell, have Jude and Gus. Very thrilled to be given this opportunity to let you know what's happening out here in Parramatta. I've been here for 35 years. I'm kicked out. I'm gone. Oh. It's all over for the time being.
What's happened and where are you going?
No, what's happened is just a redevelopment site that I've been in. I've always known about that. And actually, the site that I'm in, they're building the Parramatta Intercontinental Hotel. Ooh. So they're a little bit bigger than me, Gus. A little bit bigger than the poor old battling second row who finish up in the front row, okay?
Yeah. Pete, you've had some incredible in-store events over the years and many a celebrity sighting. I think of footballers and test captains like Mark Taylor, Brian Brown, Bert Newton, Bob Hawke's been there, and even our very own Dell. Who's some of your favourites?
Hey, you know what? That's amazing you touched on. I'm just sitting in my office now. I can see the Wendell Sailor number 5 autograph next to the Darren Lockyer, just above the Matty Bowen, just below the Lukey Lewis, and there's even Bob Hawke up there just next to Wendell. So he's in the esteemed company there. Wendell, you know that?
Yeah, look, one thing about, I think, us as players, and we all always respected the blokes that went before us, and obviously the Wins, so whenever the boys got asked to go to Peter Wins store, we go, yeah, going. So,
did you ever actually buy anything, or were you always on the freebies?
Oh, no, a bit like Matty Johns on the freebies, mate. he'd let you take a jersey or two, and you'd give it to, like, a fan or give it to some of your relatives and stuff, but we always enjoyed going there, and, he's great, and I think for us players that were current players then, the generation before, because you know you respect what they've done before you, and it continues to go, and people love it, and that's why we love the store.
Kind words, Wendell. Very kind. Yeah, no, I think very fortunate. Just look at that cross section of society that have been in here. I've had a lot of politicians. I mentioned Bob Hawke before, Don Perrottet, Johnny Fay, Nick Griner. They actually asked me to stay for the seat of Parramatta, but I wasn't that brave. I didn't really want to involve in politics. But anyway, then I had Rexy Mossop come out here. And amazing to have three jockeys come to the shop that won Melbourne Cups, Malcolm Johnson, Corey Brown and Wayne Harris. They've got their signatures up here on the wall. You know, and different blokes like Kevin Sheedy came in. When the team out west launched, he wanted to do the launch out here in the shop. I said, hey, Kev, it's rugby league jersey, pal. See you later.
Take it easy, champion. What about all the jerseys? I remember coming out to your store, when I was a youngster, especially around semi-final, State of Origin, because you always had good sales. We always knew that you had enough product, where a lot of stores had sold out. You always made sure that no one left empty-handed. What were the all-time best sellers?
I think I had to stick to Parramatta. I think I was very fortunate having played with the Eels through that glory days, 81, 82, 83 and 86 when we won the competition. And I could see what it meant to the fans then, just the fact that we won the competitions. And then to be on the other side of the fence when they made the grand final in 2001, 2009, again last year, just to see that buzz and excitement of what it means to the blue and gold fans. But Parramatta jerseys have always been my number one seller. And, I'm really hanging out, men, that I can be on the other side of the fence when Parramatta can do it the next time, because I know what it means to the community. I know what it just means so much to so many people. And obviously the jerseys, they wear the jerseys, they buy the old 81 jersey, they buy the 82 jersey, they buy the 86 jersey. They still love that old retro look, which is quite amazing. But for me, just answering the question, it's got to be Parramatta gear.
Yeah.
Always number one.
How are the Eels going to go this season, mate?
Mate, I'm hanging out there. They can go one step better than last year, all right? So that's only one step up the ladder to win it, all right? So I'm hoping it's going to happen. They lost a few good players, but certainly it gives everybody an opportunity, that when one door shuts, another one opens. So hopefully the Parramatta got the strength in the reserves there to, conquer those positions.
Hey, Will, I want to ask you this. There's obviously a brotherhood in and around rugby league. So, when we walk in a room and, I see someone there that's played before me, always go and say hello. And I just want to know, even with the current players now, what they're fighting for. I think one of your ex-teammates, Paul Taylor. None of you guys knew that he was falling on hard times, but you got around him when you heard it. Wasn't that right?
100%. Like Tazza, I actually live with Tazza. way back in 19, I'm trying to think how far back, 1983, at a house out of Liverpool. And he's always been a good mate. I knew he was doing a bit tough. I know his wife had left him. And we sat back and just saw how he handled it. And I'll tell you something, he came out so far in front of it of what was going on. You know, obviously he was sleeping under the bridge there in Brisbane. He was in the park there down on the river as well. But he got himself back. He got a job out. What saved him, he got out to Western, out to Ayers Rock and had a job out there in maintenance and put a few dollars together, moved back to the Gold Coast, had enough money to get rent and just got himself a little business and he's going well again. But when you see him down and out like that, you know, you look at him, you say, give him a chance, but we're always there behind him and he pulled it off himself, which is amazing.
Yeah, good on him. That's fantastic. Got great memories of your sides and
yes.
Him as a particular player. So are you relocating the shop, mate, or are you shutting it down for a little while? Where can we get the merchandise you've been selling for so long?
Relocation.
Yes.
Men, I'm relocating in Parramatta. You know, so I'm on in the negotiations now. The landlord's obviously doing his big renovation in the next month or so I'm out, but I'm just moving a short distance away. And when it happens, I'll let you know, okay?
Yeah, please do.
Our negotiations are on.
you let us know and we'll let all our listeners know as well, and I'm sure MG will do that in the Brekkie show as well. You've been a part of us for a long time. We've 100%. Supported your store and you've supported Triple M. So, Winnie, thanks so much for spending some time with us, the Savo, and all the best with the move. Let us know and we'll see you during the season, brother.
Two kind men. It's just the beginning of a new era. That's why I'll sum it up, all right? So
exactly.
Things just keep rolling on and on.
Good on you, mate. Thanks. Good on you. Peter Wynn there. Fantastic. I'm disappointed in myself. my child is disappointed in me, Ella. I've just been over in the UK with her. Last day, I am driving her with my wife down to the local shops to get some bread and some, like a roast, so we can cook up a roast at Granny's place.
Beautiful.
Sort of my final feed before I head off.
Beautiful.
So my wife's driving the car because I'm not insured on the father-in-law's car and he's a little bit of a stickler for that type of thing. So I'm in the back seat and stuff. And anyway, Vix hits his pothole and straight away you could hear the flat tire, right? But she's in a spot where she can't pull over because the car's behind her, that sort of stuff. So she has to drive a couple of hundred metres, which really makes the tire go and it's loud. Eventually she pulls into the driveway of the local rugby club. No game on that day, so we're able to park it up and stuff. Still on the side of the road a little bit, but not particularly safe. But anyway, we're parked up there. I get out of the car and it's like, oh, that tire's completely knackered. So
now get the spare out of the back and you're right to go, eh?
Right to go.
Well, that's what you'd think, wouldn't it? So I sit there and without even thinking about it, I go, well, I don't know how to do that, so we need to ring Granddad to find out what's going on.
No.
Hang on, because it was a particular type of car or just didn't have any idea where
exactly
to start?
It's exactly the same car as I had for the last sort of 5 years up until this last car that I've got.
So you never changed the tyre?
Land Rover Discovery.
Years.
No, I've never, because I'll just ring the
NRMA and all
NRMA
that sort of
man.
Stuff. Yeah. RSCQ.
The look of disappointment on my daughter's face was just like, are you serious, Dad? You don't know how to change the tyre? I go, I wouldn't even know where the spare is, babe, to be honest with you. And I know it's in a funny spot on these cars.
Jack and all that.
And just the whole look that she gave me, right? So to make matters even worse, we're on our way back to the house and Liverpool were about to start playing against Chelsea, the 12:30 start, early start, Saturday.
I think I belted in that.
So I ring up Granddad. Granddad picks me up, drops me back at the home, leaves Vix and Ella with the car. waiting for the AA man, which is the NRMA over there. And of course, they get a text saying, "Oh, there's lots of stuff at the moment." So it bumps out from an hour's wait to 4 hours wait.
Oh my goodness!
Anyway, hour and a half into it, this bloke turns up on the side of the road. He's an Aussie who married an English girl who's living in UK. Yeah. Guess what he does? No worries, lady. Slides under the car, shimmies it. Boom! 15 minutes later, the tire is done and dusted and whatever. So they get home and I'm like, oh, you're home. And I'm watching the footy.
Yeah.
Ella's just like, a real man came and sorted it out for his dad.
Oh, give yourself an uppercut.
She was mortified, like her dad, her hero, her man.
She'd rather go collect the bins out the front in your undies.
I am a blokey bloke, but I can't do.
Yeah. What?
What? Off the back of me disappointing my daughter, I cannot change a tyre.
Mm. Let's go to Hassan in Jordan Springs. How are you, Hassan?
Good. How are you, legends? All right?
Yeah,
good
going brother. Well, mate. What can't you do?
Can't build a flat pack for the life of me.
Oh, I hate
you're
a flat
not on your
pack.
Own, mate.
Oh, I'm with
no
you, mate.
No chance.
What about?
Sorry, go on.
You go.
What about how they put just the photo at the end? There's just a picture of it all completed. It's like you've just got all the parts. There's no steps.
No chance. It doesn't look anything like the box. My wife sits there and goes, "What have you built?" I said, "I don't know." Yeah.
Good call, brother. Yeah. Let's go to John. G'day, John in Camden.
Yeah, mate. I can't pick up the dog turds in the house or any vomit. So they call me Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, mate.
Come on, you know, mate. I do it, mate. I've had my daughters vomit on me when they were babies, and I
roused
with them.
Oh, okay, people can get, you know, that smell just goes straight to you.
Yeah, I just cannot do it. I just call me Ralph. That's what I do.
Good on you, John. Okay. We appreciate the call, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Tracy there now. Tracy, what about you?
Yeah, hi. I'm going to dog my husband in. He's a chippy. He can do absolutely anything, but he can't fill the window wiper bottle up. He filled the brake fluid up instead.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Now, Tracy, that is something I definitely can do because when you open up the bonnet, the picture's there, right?
That's right.
So that's a real easy one.
Yeah, I thought so when I said, why don't you just put that water in? He went, this one. I'm like, honey, that's brake fluid. If you drove down the driveway and up the street, you'd have no brakes. Oh. And the window wiper bottle was still empty.
I'm going to put my hand up here and say there's been times where the huntsman, you know, a huntsman's been in the house and I've just offered up the takeaway container to Lynette and just, you know, maybe get rid of that one for us.
Lynette's got some ticker, that's for sure.
You know when, like, around Christmas time and, you know, the missus buys, you know, the kids, you know, a bicycle or something and then she waits till they go to sleep. There was one that she got, she bought a trampoline. A trampoline.
Oh, the trampoline's the worst.
The worst.
Because you've got the spring.
That's hours of time.
Yeah, 400 of them.
And we were starting to fight around Christmas Eve and I was just going, why would you buy them a trampoline?
But if you buy it, you pay the $50 to the kids.
That's right.
It sells it to you and they put it together for you.
It's more than $50 because everyone knows how hard it is.
Exactly. I couldn't give a monkey's whatever it might be. Time to talk some basketball. Let's talk to this man.
You know those movie characters that, like, own sports teams and they get to sit in the corporate section and someone brings them out canapes and stuff? This guy's one of them. He co-owns the Sydney Kings and the boys are doing us proud, sitting on top of the NBL ladder, if you don't mind. Please welcome the Sydney Kings co-owner himself, Paul Smith.
G'day, Smithy. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you?
I'm good, mate. The view's good at the top too, I can tell you.
I bet it is. Oh, good on you. It's exactly. Sydney love a winner and you're certainly on top of the world at the moment. Let's talk about Bronny James. He's quite a famous father.
Famous father.
Kind of.
Exactly. Obviously, I'm taking the mickey. Would the Kings have LeBron's son if possible?
Oh, look, of course we would if possible, but I think there's a heavy dose of reality has got to play into this.
And okay.
I think it's pretty unlikely. You know, last year we sort of came out and sort of made a bold statement. There was only one city in Australia big enough for those guys, and that was Sydney. I still believe that, but look, I think also the reality is that, you know, the LeBron James, the Bronny James deal is going to be something extraordinary. And, you know, look, as much as we'd like to think about it, it'd be possible, I don't think it's realistic. I think it's that's a platform that's going to play out in the US, and rightly so, probably.
Paul, it's Stu Bolton. I mean, there's such a buzz around basketball at the moment. I mean, the Kings had a record crowd at Qdos last week, over 14,000 versus the New Zealand Breakers. What are you sensing around, I guess, the uplift and people attending games of recent time?
Look, Jude, like, I don't know. I wish I could put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. Magic sort of happened, or the rock moved a little bit and suddenly it all shifted. But we've seen an extraordinary uplift in crowds. You know, this particularly through January has been amazing. And look, I do think the Christmas night game played a bit of a role in that. I think it sort of created a bit of a conversation around the Kings, and a bit of, you know, people got inquisitive about it. And potentially a lot of people watched that game that hadn't seen a game in the NBL for a while. And, you know, I think they also probably became aware that, you know, it's a pretty big show we put out at Qdos Bank
Great
Arena.
Great match day experience. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
And the whole environment is as close as you're going to get to an NBA game. And I'm not making a direct comparison, but, you know, the arena, the size of the arena. And look, the interesting thing about Qdos Bank Arena, it was designed for basketball. It was designed for the 2000 Olympics, and it was the host venue for basketball. So it's not like a theatre arrangement or anything. It was specifically designed to be played in that mode. And gee, when it gets going, it's something else. And we're seeing a lot of that this month, that's for sure. And it's continuing. This weekend's looking very big again. And we thought it'd plateau a little bit with Australia Day and then, you know, day off and school returning, but people just keep piling back on.
Sensational. Hey, Paul, I was just watching the news last night. A number of Titans players aren't keen on wearing the Pride jersey. What are your thoughts on that?
The Taipans, look, again, I think there's a few elements to this, and certainly from the outset, let me state, the Sydney Kings were fully supportive of it, and our players have all accepted the invitation from the league to wear a logo on their jersey representing support of Pride. So I think that needs to be said at the outset. And I can't speak specifically to the circumstances that the Trans Taipans have in front of them right now, but I think the point is that this was a league-wide initiative. I think it's one of the first in Australia where an entire league has adopted a position on this and put together a round that represents support of these initiatives. And I think also that I think the invitation was extended to all players, but it wasn't an obligation. So, you know, I think there is respect for those choices. And again, I can't speak specifically to those, but it's a sensitive issue. And, you know, and I, unfortunately, these do things do on occasions throw up conversations or discussions that, you know, can cast a different perspective. But I think also this is all part of a learning experience for everyone. And that's only a good thing. And these conversations, I hope, are respectful and understanding. And, you know, we haven't seen the circumstances that applied in Manly where it kind of became a bit of a very divisive issue within the squad. I don't think that's the case in the Taipans right now. I think they're sort of working through it and they're going to come out the other side in a good place.
Paul Smith, thanks so much, mate. It sounds like a combination of communication and education is exactly what we're talking about. And
Great to see the Kings going well.
Good on the Kings. Like you say, mate, you're at the top of the table. Enjoy every second of that and congratulations on what you're doing.
All right. Thanks for all your support. We appreciate it. And everyone that's been coming out, it's great.
Absolute pleasure, mate.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.